the Edge with April Mahoney Brains. Here, this is the place where the conversation is pointed, the guests are sharp, and the responses are never dull. Welcome home, Brains.
Coming to you straight from San Diego, California, let's welcome our host, April Mahoney.
Who is that? I ain't seen you in forever. Mwah, mwah.
Oh. How are you?
Good, good. You look great.
Thank you. I had to put my makeup on.
Girl, I know you got to get it right. I had to put me on a hair option. I didn't want to fluff out the episode. I was like, all right.
You and look I'll cute. With me.
Thank you. All right. So, real relaxed, fun, girlfriend, not super serious. I'm going to ask you some fun questions, just really, 100.
Yeah.
It's about 30 minutes.
Okay.
And let me just go get some water. You like your little treats I sent you?
I love them. And you know what? My daughter, I knew about the sage and, that kind of stuff. And even that stick, I had to ask my daughter about the stick thing. She's like, oh, that's to clear your energy. I'm like, okay. But this is what I wanted to ask you about. Hold on a second.
Yeah, right here. And I love my shawl. You didn't have to do that.
Yes, I did. I do that for all my brains, girl. Ain't you? You think I would treat a stranger better than I treat you? Girl, you crazy.
What's this?
Oh, I think that's amber.
Oh.
It's amber. That, and a little bit will last you. That'll last you a long time, a couple months.
Okay.
Just put a little bit on. A different kind.
About this last weekend, shit, what you talk about? That smells good.
It's delicious. Girl, I tell you, I ain't going to send you no sloppy seconds.
I just was like, what is this? I should have opened it.
Yeah, wait a minute. You know what else you can do? You can burn it.
Oh, you can?
You can burn it. So one of them dollar burners?
Uh-huh.
Like something like this with a little candle in the bottom.
Oh.
And you put the oil and don't leave it unattended. Always fire provision. But it is so cool. Girl, the whole house be freaked out. You'd be like calling them like from the Pied Piper.
This is amazing. I should have tried this. Okay. So is that an aphrodisiac?
Oh, did you get the soap?
I did.
Girl, that soap is luxurious. Your skin.
I haven't tried it.
Oh, you got to try that. That soap is off the chain. So.
Right. Thank you. I was excited.
On the edge with April Mahoney, you here with me. We recording, girl. I like some raw footage. I like them to know who we are, for real. Because we're girlfriends. We are girlfriends from San Diego, California. Brains right there. Right there is my good friend, Anita Lorraine Lofton. Girl, did you know that we shared the same middle name?
No, your middle name, Lorraine, too?
Wait.
Aw, that's special.
That is. And
that's
so
why you got my gumbo. My gumbo recipe, I don't give that to everybody.
I was gonna tell him about that. But let me tell you something, Brains. There's a lot about Anita that a lot of people probably don't know. Number one, she's from Oakland. Okay, so she ride or die. She ain't playing. I'm just saying. Okay, she's not playing. She's serious. She's dibbled and dabbled in management for entertainers. In addition to that, she has founded the San Diego Black Chamber of Commerce. I'm gonna ask her what that looks like in the political climate. I mean, she was a trailblazer, came down here because San Diego is not the most progressive machine. We're getting along, but we're not an LA. We definitely not an Oakland or a San Francisco. We San Diego. So you came here, but you really made an impact. You weren't just meeting on the meeting, but you made an impact, and it stayed with me. In addition to that, now she is a healthcare advocate. She gonna tell you about the trickery, okay? All y'all out here fighting and hooping and hollering, want to act a fool, but if you don't have no health care, your ass ain't gonna get the vaccine anyway. Okay, so that's a mute point. Okay, so let's just go on and clear that up. The best medical care, They're going to take away Obamacare one way or another, just because it's Obamacare, because everybody needs medical insurance. You can't get that through your head. Okay, I'm going to get off my platform. I'm going to let Anita get on the platform. Girl, will you talk to him, Sister Brown, and welcome to On the Edge.
Oh, thank you so much. It's such an honor to be on your show. First of all, I want to thank you for allowing me to have this platform with you.
Absolutely.
You know, April, you've always been innovative and moving around and moving and shaking. And so I appreciate this because, you know, your show is everything, actually. So I'm glad to be here.
Girl, well, you just really gonna do it. So let's start in the beginning. Let's start with a 25-year-old Anita Lorraine Lofton. Who was she?
Anita, 25 years old, she was very ambitious. You know, I came from humble beginnings. So my whole thought pattern was I was going to make my mother and my grandmother proud. You know, I was going to be that woman that they've always wanted me to be. And, you know, so I set out to be a businesswoman, and I went to a business school in I'm actually from San Francisco, though.
San Francisco? Okay.
Yeah, all that's right. A big deal. You got to say, if you, Oakland and San Francisco is always.
Yeah, because you got the 49ers and you got the Raiders.
Right
on the border. You know, all right.
Yeah, so you know, and then I need to let everyone, you guys know that I had a baby early at 16. So I had something to prove, right?
Wow.
Yeah, I had something to prove. I'm not going to, I'm going to do better. And this is the next time I'm going to be married with a house and a picket fence. And I have my next child. So
wow.
I did that and I ended up divorced anyway. But it's okay. Well,
consciously uncoupled. I think that is so sexy. Oh, we consciously uncoupled. I say, you say that only if you haven't killed him.
He's still alive. So.
So you moved to from San Francisco.
To San Diego with my, I moved to LA first. And then that's where, you know, I started going to school. I graduated from Hills Business College in San Francisco.
Okay.
And so then I moved to LA, and that's when I started my real professional journey. And I got into group benefits. So as I got into group benefits, you know, I started to blossom, and I really got into that's a long time ago. That was in 1983, right?
Mm-hmm.
And there was this regional manager. He was a Jewish man that took me under his wing and loved me.
Yeah. Some of my best mentors have been Jewish. Yes.
Yeah, Bob.
But you know what? But my guy was Jewish too.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Anyway, that's another show. Go ahead.
So I just got into it and I started blossoming. I took some classes at UCLA, just did some stuff. And, you know, I found myself moving that. Then I met my husband, my ex-husband at the time. He was in the military. Then I moved to San Diego and I opened an office in La Jolla with another regional manager. And the rest is, you know, kind of history. We had a baby. I became legitimate with a baby and married, right? In a White House and a picket fence.
Okay, now wait. Let's pump our brakes for 1 minute, okay? Because, you know, we have real talk. You done mentioned that 3 times. Are you still salty about that? You done mentioned that 3 times in a row. Keep it 100 for the sisters that's out there, you know?
Salty about what? About divorce?
Yeah, because you're still in your feelings. I hear it.
Well, let me just say this. If I had to do it all over again, I probably would have stayed with my ex-husband, because he was very good to me, right? And good to my kids. It's just that, you know, when you're young and in love and you're moving and shaking and doing, sometimes you don't mix, especially when you're, man, you're in the military. When he's in the military and
No, that's a cop-out, because I've been married 36 years to Mr. Magnificent and I ain't bust a great, okay?
Really?
Girl, and I ain't judging.
Was he in the military?
Absolutely, 20 years. Oh,
all right, absolutely. What branch? Was he in the Navy?
Yes, and you know.
Okay, well, I guess it is a cop out.
You know, don't give me that. You did it because you wanted to.
I did it because I wanted to.
Right. Okay. So take ownership with it. But you know, and I'm that's for all you Sister Brains that's out there. I ain't trying to call my girl out, but you know, she. I want her to get through that, because that's open. That's a little blockage there. You opening up for love, and you are just such a flower, just blossoming, yeah, just as pretty. Thank you. Ain't dating nobody right now. I need to put a shout out. Are you? Okay.
Shout out to him.
Billionaires, girl. I got billionaires pushing to the edge. I ain't playing. I could hook you up.
I finally found someone that we're equally yoked, you know, and we care about each other. I'm in a committed relationship. I've been dating him off and on for 6 years, but we finally decided to commit over the past year. So.
Well, bravo.
Yes.
Bravo.
Yeah.
Now, on the folks in healthcare.
Okay.
Girl, that is a hot mess, okay? We ain't gonna get political. They can do that all by themselves, but the facts are the facts. And nobody is trying to make it better for you, brains. I don't care where you are, anywhere in the world. We ain't just talking about the United States. That's some trickery. Because see, sick people make money.
Yeah.
No, people don't make money.
Uh-huh.
You know, and I got a little conspiracy theory about, you know, what's going on in the population and the vortex. This is not some normal stuff. This is some weird science fiction, and y'all better get right. It's not the ones that's taken up. It's the ones that's left behind.
Yes.
With no damn health care. So tell us, it's so much to talk about. Let's start with just like basic two or three things people need to know about signing up for an insurance plan.
Okay, let me just say this. Right now we're getting ready to go into open enrollment, right? As a matter of fact, on the 15th, Medicare open enrollment started, right? So that's the 15th to December 7th. And that's the time when anyone who is eligible for Medicare, it's on Medicare, that they can make changes to their different Medicare plans. There's a lot of different Medicare plans. We're talking about, you need to understand Medicare A, Medicare Part B, Medicare Part C, Medicare Part D. Just to let you know, and it's a lot, so I don't want to take a whole lot of time.
It's overwhelming, and because Mama just got, what did I do with it? I think I kept it just to, okay, wait a minute, that's one. Hang on 1 second, brains. What the hell?
I'm gonna read this, April. Sometimes that's overwhelming for me. Really, you know, I every year I have to take a course every year, pay for it to get certified to do Medicare, and I got to get certified for that stuff. So here I am, you know, trying to educate seniors. My mind is going, so you can imagine what happened. So I sit down with my parents. And I, you know, and other people, they call me, but it's a lot to know, you know.
Ever evolving, and they're just stripping it away. Okay, so now the big ticket item is,
let me just say this part. Everyone needs to understand, and it's important that you understand that A is the hospital portion of Medicare. B is the outpatient portion, where you go out and see your doctors and your lab work, right, outside the hospital. C, and this is what I want to get across to you. A and B is incorporated in C. And that's when you sign your Medicare benefits over to like a Kaiser or a Blue Cross or something like that. Because if you just stay with A and B, you know, Medicare A and B, that means you can go to any doctor you want to go to. But when you sign your benefits over to Kaiser, a Blue Shield, an Anthem, or an Aetna, or someone like that, then you have to go to their list of doctors and you choose their plan. That needs to be very clear.
All right, did you get that, brains? Okay, so make sure that you know that, because you have to have options.
Yes, okay.
Know that you have, okay, now, another thing. My mother has the best insurance on the planet. I mean, she take a cocktail every day of about 14, 16 pills. No, let me see, 12 pills, with two insulin shots and two eye drops. Mm-hmm. I picked up her prescriptions today. It's like $10.
Mm-hmm. That's great.
I told her, you just don't know how blessed you are.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Insulin alone. How many diabetics are out there?
Yeah.
Okay. Insulin, what happened? Somebody got in some trouble for that, for some trickery, right? He's going to run up the price on the insulin and the pens.
Yeah. They, the fact that she has a $10 copay for her medication, all of them were $10 or $10 a piece?
All $10 for all of them, girl. I got them all refilled. And I'm sitting there, you know, I'm working like a Hebrew slave. And when I go, I got to pay the copay, you know, outpatient or whatever that is. But that's just the way that it is. But they're cutting those benefits back, way back. That's saving money. They got to make this for this deficit. Okay, so now you explain that, which is very important. What's the next thing they should do?
Let me just say this. One of the big things that they did just cut is people with kidney failure, end-stage renal, that's going to the dialysis clinic. That's completely going away. I mean,
let me dial back on that. Let me dial back on this, because this is the first time I've heard this. I hear the propositions all on the television to get these centers, but I was under the impression that they're trying to do that to have a cap, you know, to capitalize on people that are in kidney disease, but this is really a need that's going away.
Yeah, it's not completely going away, but the 100% is going away. So it's going to be 80-20. 80%, the insurance carrier pays 80%, and then the member has to pay 20%. That's a problem. So we don't want that to go away, because there's some people who cannot even afford that, right?
Wow.
They can't afford to pay that 20% cost. So what they're trying to do, the insurance carriers are trying to do, is they're trying to incentivize people to do their dialysis at home.
Ooh, you know? Girl, now look. I went to the class with somebody. Ain't no way.
Yeah,
it's sterile. And it's not, you know, it's not like storing diapers. I mean, you are storing equipment, and you have to dispose of that biohazardous waste. And you got, oh no.
Yes.
And three times a week. Oh no, not me.
And then think about the people that don't have the resources, you know, to be at home, or their house, they don't have the capacity to put the equipment at home, or the cleanliness, like you said, it has to be sterile. That's not going to work. And I'm against that 100%. So we need to talk about it.
So what is that proposition? Just so that you have options, brains. Yeah, but I have to, you know, think about that now.
Yeah, think about it, Reed. If they want to take it away, they want to get rid of the dialysis clinics.
Okay, so if you vote yes or no, because, you know, they got the confusion in the way that they wrote it. Do you know what proposition number that is?
I think it's proposition 21. I'm not sure. Right, Brace, I'm sorry.
Make a decision for yourself, but go in and check it out, because I didn't know that they were taking that away from.
They want more people to have the dialysis at home. So that copay. So every time you go, 20% sometimes can mean $800 every time you have to go. That's a lot of money. So we want to make sure that we understand. And that's one of the things, and I know you have some questions to ask me, but I really want to get something out.
Look, go ahead, because this is right before the time that they're going to make some major decisions for the rest of your life. Because one decision affects another decision.
Absolutely.
It's a domino effect. Okay.
Absolutely.
And so at least you know what, you know, how your train is moving.
Yeah.
Are you stuck?
And what's important right now is pay attention to what the benefits that you're choosing. Paying a deductible to see the doctor and paying the deductible to get your medication is one thing, but you know what your needs are. Or even if you like there's some benefit plans that don't cover DME, or meaning that they don't cover like CPAP machines. You need CPAP machines if you have sleep apnea, right? They don't cover it. They'll make you pay for this. That's like $800-$900 by itself, right? So they got that. They have some that doesn't cover like prosthetics and orthotics. You know, they have some that don't cover inpatient mental health. Or there's a lot of loopholes that you have to make sure that if you need it, you want to make sure that you have it. So don't just say, oh, here's a deductible and wait till 11th hour when you need it, you can't get it. And there's nothing what to do, because the first thing the insurance carrier is going to say, it's not a covered benefit. And that's it. You know, and we know, and I'm going to go back to the CPAP machines. I've heard it over and over again, it's not a covered benefit. But then if you're prescribed a CPAP machine, It's medically necessary. Not having a CPAP machine can cause heart problems and pulmonary problems and all kind of problems, and you need it. So for them to basically say it's not a covered benefit, figure it out, that's not okay with me.
Right.
So you need to pay attention to those things. But then again, there's a way to get around it. There are insurance carriers that will offer financial assistance if you can't afford it.
See? And you need to know that. I mean, is that across the board for Medi-Cal?
Mm-hmm.
Really?
So don't just walk away with your tail tucked and say, I'm not going to do it because it's not covered. And then you create more health issues for yourself. Mm. Go back to the health plan and ask them, because they do offer financial assistance.
Okay. One other thing that's very important, Brains, is that you get your paperwork in order. I done told you a million damn times to get your paperwork in order.
Yes.
It takes all of 3 or 4 days.
Yes.
You don't work like a Hebrew slave to get that little piece of house, and then you're going to leave it and the family going to run through it like rats.
Yes.
Handle your business. You just spent all this money. You pay a mortgage. Okay. You pay an attorney $700 and pretend that you're dead and go on and write out your stuff. Have a medical power of attorney so that someone can speak, not for what they want, but speak on your behalf.
You go, like, girl. What? That's right.
I just get so tired of them because a friend of mine, her brother, they looked through the window and found him dead. My brother came to his apartment, found him dead. Okay? Calling them home. The coach, handle your business. Shouldn't we have to do it online? And let them go. If they're going to be mad at you, hell, let them be mad at you now. And then you know how they really feel. And you get him that cheese of somebody else.
Yeah.
See how they're going to show up.
I want to, I thank you for saying that, because people think, oh, handling your business is just, oh, get your will together or do this, but you got to have some business that you need to handle while you're alive, right? And you talked about the advanced health care directive. A lot of people think, oh, that's my husband, so he'll be able to find out my business, or that's my sister, or that's my mother. No, there's this thing that's called HIPAA, right? Mm-hmm. The Portability Healthcare Act, the Healthcare Portability Act, and if this is a federal law and you cannot speak or know anything about your loved one unless you have a signed advanced healthcare directive. Mm-hmm. Now, I hear a lot of people say, well, I go to the doctor with my mother and they tell me, oh, they're just being courteous, believe me. But when you have to fight for that member, you know, or go file a grievance or do whatever for that member, you need a solid federal healthcare, advanced healthcare directive. So I'm telling you now to choose someone that will fight for you like you fight for yourself. That's number one, right?
Right.
Make sure that you read it in its entirety, because there's a section that says, this person can speak to me for me when I can't speak to myself for myself, or it may say, this person can speak for me, even if I can speak for myself. So it depends on what you want.
Right.
Make sure you have it. It's important that you have it. I found myself in the emergency room having emergency surgery.
Wow.
And I didn't have one, but luckily my daughter was there while I was, you know, and I could speak, you know, if you can speak, I could speak at the time, and she was able to help me.
Right.
Yeah. So that's when
that's going on right now. You know, you ain't going to have time to figure it out.
Right.
And I'm going to say it to you, you know, it's a part of being prepared. When I worked at the American Red Cross, they taught us emergency preparedness.
Mm.
And the first thing that they said was, again, like on the airplane, you put your oxygen mask on first.
Yes, absolutely.
And you got to handle your business.
Handle it.
You know? And then folks, because I'm telling you, they try to fight your battles from the grave and just it gets ugly. So let's ask some fun questions about Anita Lorraine Lofton.
Okay.
I done got all up in your feelings now.
You have. I don't know why you want to do that.
Because you my girl. You my girl. First, let's talk about the gumbo. Okay? I done died and went to heaven. Okay? She gave me her secret recipe, Brains. Okay? I still can't do it like her. It is
really? Delicious.
Yeah, it's good. And that pot liquor, girl, when they just sit down and just settle. Oh my God, it's sinful.
I'm gonna give you a secret. If you save it, you know, after you it's all gone, mm-hmm. and you save it and freeze it for the next time you do it, you know, when you make the gumbo, it makes it even better.
Wow, because you put that in the roux, right?
Right, yes.
Okay, mm-hmm. That's my thing, is making a roux. How do you make a good roux?
I don't really make a roux.
Really?
I use my seasoning or my leftover gumbo that I froze, and I just use that. And then what I do is that once I get all the ingredients and it's cooked, and all, I take a little, some flour, and I put it in, you know, some liquid. I liquefy it, and I pour it in, I stir it, and it makes it thicker. I'm good.
Wow. Well, it is delicious. So what else is delicious in your life? What have you, you know, are you been into music? Have you, you know, heard anything new, anything up that way? Because can't get out and go nowhere. Can't go to the club.
Can't get out and go nowhere. You know, my daughter, you know, she's been into music for a long time. You know that. And so she just started a record company. And her record company is, and she's, LaToya London from American Idol is her best friend. So they're working together. So LaToya just released her new song. Remember LaToya from with she just released a new song. They're releasing a new album. The name of the song is Forever. They were just in LA this weekend because they were mixing, doing a mixer with like the number one, I don't know what you call them, disc jockey music for Beyonce.
Okay, but they have to be on the edge. I got a promoter on the edge, so you hook that up, right?
I will definitely. I got you.
Yeah,
I got you.
Okay, so you got me. All right, so tell me about the climate up there. You know, is folks acting strange? Because they trying to be here, but you know what they did? They tow up La Mesa.
Anita, I heard.
Who tears up La Mesa?
I know, that's what I said. La Mesa.
I would have thought, you know, yes, I'm kind of stereotyping a little bit, but I didn't think it'd be no La Mesa. Girl, they showed up and showed out. Okay. And
yeah, they showing out up here so bad. I went to Oakland for the first time in a long time over the weekend, mm-hmm. and everything on the main street, Broadway, was boarded up. And then as like, you can go down like 7-8 blocks and you see all of the victims, you know, Castillo and Eric Garner, they got pictures. Cause you know, Oakland is very artistic, right?
Right.
So they had like big cardboards of everybody that, maybe like 20 people that had got murdered by the police, right? So it's all boarded up everywhere, just all of the businesses, because they're still riding to this day.
Wait, but they, you know, they ain't put up the mix yet. Okay, you live in a climate, and I remember growing up in the days of, you know, Malcolm X and Dr. Martin Luther King.
Black Panthers over here.
Exactly. I was saying, and you know, there's other underground militias, black militias. Okay, white folks, don't get it twisted. Right. They coming up out of the ground, but see what they doing, they're more strategic. What do you think about these celebrities, girl, that's coming out with these perspectives? And you know, two of my boys, they need to stay in their lane. Three of
my
boys.
What are you talking
about? You talking about Ice Cube? I'm not driving. I'm not driving with Kanye. I'm not riding with Ice Cube. And I'm damn sure not buying from Sean P. Diddy Combs. I understand we need a voice and we need a presence. I mean, we had Sammy Davis Jr. and we had Harry Belafonte and we had Sidney Poitier. You know, these were men of honor that were in the entertainment industry and really put their, you know, James Brown, put their life on the line for mm-hmm. civil rights, Ray Charles. But don't come to me with no, you know, small change. Okay.
So let me just say this. You mentioned that I founded the chamber, the Central San Diego Black Chamber of Commerce in San Diego, which I did. What I found when I was there, because remember, I do come from a very progressive background when it comes to, you know, African Americans and fighting and standing and social justice, right?
Right.
Yeah, that's my thumb. So what I found when I was doing the chamber, I'm so glad it's there, but I found that there was a lot of people that wasn't as forward thinking as I was when it comes to being equality, right? Okay. I was a little disappointed in that, but I'm glad to see that it's still going. What I feel now is we're with the Black Lives Matter. I want to hear how Black Lives Matter for health disparity, how it matters financial, you know, redlining, how it just matters for us in all aspects, because I'm sick and tired of having the conversation without having the conversation, right?
Right. I call it meeting on the meeting to see what we're meeting about.
Yeah, let's keep it real. So I don't want to see Black Lives Matters on the street, you know, the letters on my street. I want to hear how we're going to systemically address what's going on. So I think when we talk about Ice Cube and P. Diddy and what they're saying, I think they're saying that, let me see it on a dotted line. Let's talk about what, don't make no promises. Let's talk about what we're really going to do. Let's stop talking about it and be about it. You know, I think about what happened in Black Wall Street, because you remember I brought Black Wall Street to San Diego too. Remember that organization? And I think about what happened at Black Wall Street, and I'm like, you know, with Black Wall Street, and I'm thinking, why didn't we get up and continue to fight? Why did we tuck our tail and just walk away? We had it. You know, so now we have a different climate of people, different climate of young people that is not looking at black and white. We're all mixed together. So that's what I get. I mean, Kanye is a whole nother story.
Girl, he's another thing. Bless his heart. Bless his heart.
I have to say
that's all you can say. I'm not even taking that seriously. But the other two gentlemen, you know, I understand where they've come from. I mean, they came from the bottom and now they're at the top.
Right.
Again, you ain't the spokesperson. You know, it's like, what was that? There was an event a few months ago where they were trying to track the black dollar, the spending dollar of the black. I wasn't impressed with that. When we did that in Los Angeles years ago, we spent everything in $2 bills.
Yeah.
Really tell the impact of the buying power. Do you know that the Civil Rights Act, the bus boycott was a year, brains. It wasn't just because Rosa got on there and her feet was hurting.
Right.
After that, it was a year to really show the financial impact of what happened with that. And you know what? We can do it again. I say it a million times. You cannot fight a 21st century war with no 1960 tactics.
That's right.
Using cyberspace. I mean, you know, they done turned the world upside down, and Putin ain't even cussed us out, girl. He ain't talking.
It's important that we vote. I think that's crazy, that if we are apprehensive, because that's the only thing that's going to make a change. And why do we think that Trump got in office anyway? It's that I believe it's because we didn't vote like we were supposed to. That is what is going to make a difference. What is also important is, even as we vote for the presidential election, it's even more important that we vote for our regional area, you know, our congressman, our mayor. We need to find people that are just as progressive, that's forward thinkers.
Because I'm telling you, it's crazy. It is really, really crazy on how you really see who these people are.
Yeah.
And you know what it is? It's just they want to be right. Everybody in this situation, nobody wants to be wrong. No one wants to lose. Everybody wants to win. You know, and I get that. I get that. But at what cost? So, you know, I just try to be
we are loud and bold and in charge. From the women who saying no more, right? From the women who standing up, no more. From the African Americans who saying, no, you know, we want to breathe, you know, help us live, to the Hispanics, we all are loud and we want.
And forgot justice. About the children. Remember, the children marched heavier than anybody because they don't want guns in their school. Right. Well, we don't have to worry about that.
Oh my God.
Because they can't go to school.
Yeah. Okay? Yeah.
And this is going to impact their learning.
Yeah.
Let me tell you, one way or another, mommy brains and daddy brains.
Yeah.
Okay. This is, you want them to go back to school? You best believe they want to go back to school. They tired of your ass too.
Yeah.
All the rules and don't do this and don't do that. And you won't hyper this and be quiet. I'm doing this. And they're tired of you too. But the important thing, and this is what I think, okay? I'm not a teacher or educator, but I got good damn common sense. Is that put these kids in front of the screen for 3 or 4 hours of some structured learning. Right. All the 7 and 8 hours, they're not going to do it.
No.
Take them outside, show them a few bugs,
right,
some plants. I'm doing it with my little friend down the street.
Yeah.
How to use power tools, help you in the kitchen. Let them watch you and see what you have to do for work. Yes. Let them be your assistant. Turn on the television and have the Spanish channel. Teach them a foreign language. Okay. They're doing this new thing now, this rapping with numbers. You know how we used to have a...
Conjunction.
Well, they fucking it up with some that. And this is what you have to do, okay?
So what you're saying, April, listen to this. What you're saying is the way we learned. Remember, we had home ec, economics. Remember we had economics? Remember we had gym classes? We did a lot of music and all that, instead of now they just want to give them tunnel vision. You do that. That helped us be the person that we, the people that we are, hey, more evolved. You're right. I like that.
But the, you know, but the PTSD and the trauma that everyone from being in this isolation, kids don't want to wear no masks.
Yeah.
You know, it's hard. And so until we get this vaccine or whatever, I'm going to take my chance with it, you know. Yeah. If I just have to do it, I just have to, you know, take my chance with it. But I'm not going to hinder nobody else's chance to live.
Are you wearing a mask?
Shit, 24/7.
Okay, so talk about, don't play.
Why are you bullshitting? Excuse me. I'm sorry, brains. Uh-huh. Absolutely. Okay, and I ain't wearing it to protect them. I'm wearing it to protect me.
Yes, that's what I'm talking about.
Because that's what we was talking about. Put your oxygen mask on first. If I ain't cool, I can't take care of mama. I can't take care of Mr. Magnificent. So I got to take care of me.
That's right.
Want to go out there and do what they want to do? I don't have no problem. I cross the street. I give you your space. And thing. I'm not trying to, you know, the walking dead. That's what I hashtag. Yeah. The walking dead. They keep going the way they're going. We ain't going to have to worry about them because they're all going to be dead. They ain't going to be able to vote.
I know. If you hear it. And being in healthcare, I hear it so much. I had a young... my daughter's friend, she's 41. She got COVID and she was in the hospital for 45 days. She finally got out. I think she just got out yesterday after she was in oxygen for 45 days. Excuse me. She got out of the oxygen and now I don't know what it is, but I just saw her arm on Facebook the other day that it ate her arm up. I mean, it does really ugly things to you. She had a trach in her neck. She's 41 years old.
Okay.
You know,
so give this them is a visual. That's right. Give them a visual. You know,
there's some real stuff out here, you guys.
Okay. It's real like stuff. I tell them all the time, it's Satan. It's the invisible devil that we've been fighting all this time. But you know what? I have a saying, life can show you better than I can tell you. You know, that's all I can do. And these governors is out here, you know, yeah, it's, they're not doing it, I think, because they're trying to be disrespectful. They're trying to save your life.
Save your life. That's right.
You know, they got
I don't know what kind of medication Trump had, because he miraculously recovered.
Yeah, but did he ever have it? That's a whole nother show.
And that's not for me to judge. I'm just like, you know.
I'm just saying, girl, anything is possible. I ain't never seen a magician like this one.
He said maybe they can give you something what I'm taking. He said maybe
go on with yourself because it's going, I'm telling you, and it's rough. But thank you, you have just been a delight, and I'm telling you, brains, I'm gonna let you back in the room. You know, I don't be trying to have these interviews with people just for the sake of having a conversation. I want to get down to the nitty gritty. I want to get down to the bone, down to the chicken bone that's in our gumbo. Thank you so much, Anita. Tell my brains how to get in contact with you. I know that you do some work with Cover California. They need some consulting, or you know, I don't know what else you're doing.
Let me just say this: I'm a benefit broker first. I do group insurance for small businesses, so I can put a group insurance package together. I am a Cover California agent. My passion is definitely to teach people how to advocate for themselves and navigate through the system so that they can get the best quality health care that they deserve. So you have to learn how to speak to your doctor, and you need to know the resources that's available to you if you're not getting the adequate health plan. Don't be afraid to speak up for yourself. I promote that. So you can reach me at My number is...
Ray, she's about to give you all of her information so that you can contact her about all of these benefits. Okay, what is your information, Queen?
My you can reach me by phone at 707-563-5956.
Say it again.
707-563-5956.
See, repetition, make them remember that.
Okay. And then my email is anita.lofton@lornianagroupservices.com.
Okay. And we're going to put all of that down at the bottom. You've just been so much fun. Thank you so much for being on the edge. I appreciate you. I love you. I value you.
I appreciate you. Appreciate it.
And thank you for, you know, just being a good sport. You're a wonderful person.
This was such a simple interview. It was easy to talk to you, I guess, because we're friends, but still, I was still a little
bit. And I'm telling you, I'll be trying to get all the information here on the edge from my brains. And I like to do human interest stories. I want to know, you know, who's the lunch meat in between the two pieces of bread? Okay. Do I have some bologna or do I have salami or do I have some, you know, whatever?
I have a whole lot of exciting stuff going. My life is work. I need something else.
You know, start to crochet. I hear crocheting is back in. I'm talking to 4 or 5 people, you know, and you used to sit there and make a blanket, it's getting cold because the clubs ain't going to open up.
I know.
Restaurants. Oh, all the restaurants. Oh, my God. So
yeah, how are you doing? We didn't talk about that.
What you want to talk about? What you want to ask me?
Let's talk about how you doing. Girl, let's talk about that. I see you doing.
My gang, okay.
Yeah.
I'm gonna keep it 100 with you. I and God is extra good, and I'm a faithful servant. I pay it forward. I'm connecting some great people. They're doing some great stuff. You know, I've been fortunate that I'm about to interview this woman that's a part of the G20. And a friend of Vladimir Putin. Now, what? How that dropping to you, girl? You see, I got my Oprah wig on.
You doing it tonight?
No, I'm doing it on the 21st.
Oh, good for you! Congratulations.
So, well, I'm doing that. About to release a brand new show. I tell you offline what that is. My daughter is going to be wicked. I'm getting ready for the end of the year recap. I've had over maybe 350 interviews this year.
Oh, wow.
I've got about 20 more to go. And we're going to do a game show.
Oh, wow. I'm so proud of you.
So, we're just having a lot of fun. If I can't do it out in the workplace, I better do it here at home and try to enjoy it.
Yeah, good for you. So proud of you. Next time I'm in San Diego, I'm going to look you up.
Yeah, absolutely. Let me cut this recording off real quick. All right.